World news this morning. North Korea has ratified a major defense treaty with Russia, and many are speculating now that this could signal North Korea's formal entry into the Russia-Ukraine war. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine and find out what he's hearing about this. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon from Kyiv. And it's pretty wild. Pretty wild days lately, both, you know, geostrategically and also here in Ukraine, you know, regarding the idea of North Korea's formal entry into the war. I mean, for Ukrainians, North Koreans have been keenly a part of this with clear evidence, at least since January of this year. That was the first time we had clear evidence that North Korean missiles were being used to hit Ukrainian cities, especially Kharkiv. So the Russians, North Korea was supplying Russia. And now, you know, we have the very ominous information that there is a mass of 50,000 troops, both Russian and North Korean, that are in the region, the Russian region of Kursk. 50,000 troops. It's a huge number. And everyone's sort of waiting to see, you know, what is their next move going to be? It seems that their immediate goal might be to push the Ukrainians out of that region of Russia into which Ukraine made an incursion in August. But the North Koreans are fully a part of this, and probably, you know, as with so many other nations, you know, and even with Ukraine's allies, like, no one really wants to declare, you know, clearly and publicly which side they are totally on. For example, you have India, which purports to be neutral, but which is, has become one of the main importers of Russian gas and Russian oil. And India takes that. The raw materials from Russia, refines it and sends it to Europe, and so the you know, there are many nations that are trying to sort of hedge their bets here, and I think as we look at first, it's very important to acknowledge that yesterday, what was so strange, what happened yesterday morning when we had, you know, as I reported to you, the indication that 24 Russian bombers had taken off. And
good morning, still above north on I-55 right now with these delays following a rollover semi at Joliet.
There we go. Sorry, we had our traffic helicopter in there. At least it wasn't Putin and the Russians jamming you.
Yeah, no. As soon as I heard it was English speaking, I was very happy that it was not North Korea or Russia. So
yeah, no
that's
kidding.
Good.
Sorry about that.
that's a welcome interruption. But, you know, the 24 Russian bombers that took off yesterday, and, this has been a big topic here in Kyiv, that's the first time that's ever happened. Every single time when we've had reports of that amount of aircraft activity in Russia, you always have a major Russian attack upon Ukraine. And so the fact that these 24 bombers took off and were moving to their launch positions, usually over the Caspian Sea, and nothing happened. Nothing happened here, but clearly something happened in Russia. Either they were testing something, or they were bluffing, or, you know, we don't know what it was, but they were poised to launch one of the biggest ever, probably the biggest ever missile attack upon Ukraine. Those planes that were in the air were capable of carrying up to about 200 missiles, and that clearly would have been the largest. So that was extremely strange. But I would say, as we look at the maneuverings that are happening now in the United States in Mar-a-Lago in preparation for Trump to return to the White House, there's one piece of news that does give Ukrainians some hope with a little bit of trepidation. But Trump has announced that his pick to be national security advisor is a congressman called Mike Waltz, not Tim Walz, Mike Waltz, congressman from Florida. And he it's a very interesting choice. It's annoyed a lot of people who support Trump, who oppose Ukraine. So for Ukrainians, that's a good sign. But Mike Waltz, he was decorated for his combat service as a Green Beret. And in Congress, especially in 2022 and early 2023, he was a very clear supporter of Ukraine. He said the only way to stand up to Russia is you have to have a spine of steel. You have to respond to Russia with force. But as time went on, he became more and more resistant to supporting Ukraine. In fact, he opposed the congressional package, the $60 billion support for Ukraine last spring. And so on the face of it, you could say, OK, looks like he was drifting away from Ukraine. But if you look at his arguments about this, it seems that, you know, his that $60 billion was not popular with the people. And so it's difficult to be in Congress and to push for it, especially in Florida. And he was saying that, you know, we need to push for something that's more effective. And he had an interview with NPR a few days ago, or last week, actually, but before he was even in contention for National Security Advisor. And he said the real way, the first step to stopping Russia is to actually enforce the energy sanctions. We have to keep in mind that and this is something that really there's no reporting on, but Bloomberg had one story about it over a year ago. The Biden administration gives sanctions waivers to 17 Russian banks precisely because they facilitate oil transactions. So for all the talk of great sanctions, there is this enormous legal loophole allowing Russia to continue to profit and to sustain itself with oil and gas. And Mike Waltz, in his interview with NPR just over a week ago, pointed out that Russia is actually doing better when it comes to oil and gas exports than they were before the full-scale invasion. And he mentioned the fact that he spoke with the Speaker of the Lithuanian Parliament. You know, Lithuania is one of those Baltic states that lived under Soviet tyranny. The Baltic states have been huge allies of Ukraine, despite their small stature. And Mike Waltz told NPR that when he spoke with the Speaker of the Lithuanian Parliament, she said that Lithuania is working to get more of its oil and gas from Texas and Louisiana. They do not want to be dependent on Russia. And so looking at this, it looks like that, you know, there is actually a good deal of hope that, so, you know, despite some of his recent votes in Congress, that someone like Mike Waltz actually could be pretty tough on Ukraine. And, you know, the current national security advisor for Joe Biden is Jake Sullivan. And, you know, you mentioned that name in Kyiv, and it's, you know, you don't get a lot of smiles when you hear that name, because he's been seen as the architect of the policy that prevents Ukraine from fighting back, prevents Ukraine from hitting bases on Russian soil. Jake Sullivan, sort of came up in Washington as a political guy, never was in the military. And so there's some hope that Mike Waltz, as a former Green Beret, and by the way, as someone in that NPR interview, he also said that we, I think meaning America, perhaps meaning the West, he said, we have leverage, like taking the handcuffs off of the long-range weapons that we have given to Ukraine. And so there's a little bit of hope that, and I know that there's a lot of debate in Mar-a-Lago about this, but there's a little bit of hope that if this guy is indeed Trump's national security guy, things might be better for Ukraine.
Interesting. Seems like we're definitely at a tipping point in this war. Here is some welcome news as Russia continues to attack Odessa. United States fire engines and ambulances are playing a key role in the emergency response. Ambulances for Ukraine, helping out, supplying volunteer firefighters in Odessa with equipment, ambulances, and fire engines. And they have been donated from Illinois, also California, Indiana, and Virginia. And these vehicles have been working practically nonstop lately as Russia continues to target the port city of Odessa. U.S. Ambulances for Ukraine is an Illinois-based nonprofit organization. So they're doing good things, Joe.
Yeah, and Bob, for example, when I was in Odessa, I met with several firefighters there at different fire stations, and there are American fire trucks there present in Odessa, and a big, beautiful, gleaming fire trucks that you know, the people of Odessa are, you know, it sort of boosts their spirits when they see that. And indeed, it's a Chicagoan who created that group, Ambulances for Ukraine, who I think is probably listening right now, but they do lots of great work there in Odessa, which the Russians have been really focused on pounding. Odessa's taken a huge beating the past 10 days. And the Russians have been trying to hit the port very significantly. And it's good to remember that overlooking the port of Odessa, by the way, is the Chinese consulate. They have one of the best views of the port. And when I was in Odessa, I'd run by the consulate all the time, and I just have a feeling that they're somehow helping the enemy target places in Odessa.
And that is something. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, appreciate the reporting as always and your perspective, Joe. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.